Welcome to Real Talk with Life After Grief, Chris, where we talk about relevant issues as it relates to individuals in grief as they navigate finances and the advisors who help them. We help clients in grief navigate financial matters. We also teach advisors how to emotionally and financially work with clients in grief through an unparalleled process. This week's podcast is sponsored by Life After Grief Financial Planning and Life After Grief Consulting.
Hello and welcome back to another fabulous episode of Real Talk with Life After Grief, Chris. In today's episode, I have superstar slash super survivor Carolyn Moore on the episode for a second time. Carolyn is actually the person that introduced me to the idea of a super survivor. She actually called me a super survivor in, I think, our first meeting or subsequent meetings. And I didn't really have any idea what that meant. And she kind of forced me to go and read about it, and I figured it out. And I was pleasantly wowed. So Carolyn, if you recall, she was on a previous episode. She is the president, founder, and development director of the Modern Widows Club. And basically, I'm going to describe the Modern Widows Club in her terms, and then I'm going to make it easy in my terms so I can understand it as well. So the Modern Widows Club are pioneers in solution support and research for widows worldwide. And I like to make things very simplistic so I can understand them. It is simply widows mentoring widows. And that's how I describe it when I introduce the idea and the thought to any client or any prospect that comes with me. And I was just telling Carolyn before we got on here, there was a lady that is a widow, about a year and a half widow. And the first thing that I did is I recommended her to go to the Modern Widows Club and seek out support before we interact. Carolyn, welcome back. Thank you for agreeing to be on the podcast. How are you doing?
Great to see you again, Chris.
So
even if we're not live, which is our favorite place.
Yes, even if we're not live. So something else that funny that happened. So I show up, I can see Carolyn, she can see me. And so I am very casual today. I have a Just Do It Nike shirt on, and Carolyn looks like she's getting ready to walk on the red carpet. So I almost turned my video off this morning. So, Carolyn, I want to dive into super survivor. You obviously are a super survivor to the nth degree. And if folks don't remember Carolyn's background, she is a widow, obviously. And that is what sprang everything that she is about in this second phase of her life and career and what she does. And for a lot of people, she's known worldwide. She's famous. And so I just want to, you know, let you, you know, tell us what has brought you to this status. And I'm going to probe you a little bit and from the book very specifically. But what makes you a super survivor?
Well, according to Dr. Stephen Southwick, who was my mentor and who wrote the book, Resilience, the Science of Mastering Life's Greatest Challenges, which when I first was exposed to it, I was exposed to the first edition, and then they updated it in the second edition. And now me and my organization are going to be in the third edition of the book, which comes out September 11th. But in my connection with Dr. Steve, who actually passed away last year, his, you know, lifetime of resilience, science, and stress and personal growth research said that people who have gone through a tragedy and are coming out the other side are called survivors. However, the people who take that experience and then they come back and they help others with a very like circumstance, those people are considered super survivors. Those are the people who come back and change the dynamics of maybe what, you know, in my instance, very little support for widows. I came back and I questioned the lack of social systems for widows to be supported. And I said, well, what would it look like if we had programs that brought more hope and healing and growth, and, you know, set women's lives on a different trajectory than maybe what I had experienced. And so a super survivor is that person that initiates that real change that needs to happen in the world. And all of the people, whether you're a survivor or a super survivor, are people on what he called a survivor mission. And I had just never really thought of like my life, like on a mission as a survivor. But it's so true, because when we experience anything, any kind of sudden trauma, whether it's realized at the moment or realized later on when it's, you know, when we're in a different space as an adult and we look back, we realize that, yeah, I came through that. And a lot of times people just haven't really given the thought of how heroic they were in that and in rebuilding and coming back and helping others. So super survivor is sort of how I would call ordinary people becoming extraordinary change agents.
I would agree with you 100%. And I am going to reference the book that you described. So in the first two podcasts of this season five, I referenced the book, and I'm going to put a reference in the notes section as well. But very specifically in the book, what Carolyn has described so eloquently, I'm going to kind of highlight it. So what Carolyn has done is she has chosen life. That's one aspect. She has reached out. She's got moving, and she's given back. And so what made you decide to wake up one day and choose life? Not that you had a choice, but what made you choose life and not look in the past?
Well, initially, you know, I had two daughters who were 2 and 4 years old who required food and shelter and basics, right? So that was my motivation, just at a very core level. I think when you go through trauma, you really go from this self-actualization, like we see in Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and you go back down to the bottom. You go back to basic sustenance, right? And you have to rebuild a life back up to a self-actualization. And so no one really explained it to me like that in the beginning, but I felt that. I felt that my life crumbled, right? So a big part of, for me, motivation was simply the people I loved the most and the people who needed me. But as time went on, you know, the motivation had to become bigger, because the impact, I think, on widowhood, the impact on every aspect of your life, I had no idea that it was going to obviously impact me emotionally, mentally, and also financially. But what I didn't know is how it was going to impact every relationship I had. Spiritually, it was going to impact me, all the questions of doubt and anger and fear. I was struggling immensely from that. So, but I would say in 2006, when I was on the Oprah show, was really the defining moment for me, because I was seen as this person who had it kind of all together. And I was not at all in the background of my life. I could barely get a shower. I could barely operate. I had adrenal fatigue. It took everything that I could do to wake up every morning and do the day. And these are the things I just had no one to speak with. I had no one to even ask, you know, is this normal? And what I now know is, of course, literally widowhood was an all-in-front attack on my health that went unidentified by the healthcare industry. You know, counseling can only do so much. But the actual physical impact to my body was what I really severely underestimated, and I struggled because of that. I had PTSD undiagnosed. You know, I was in a car accident. I was in a very bloody car accident that was extremely traumatizing. And, you know, no one was really looking after me, okay? So when I was on the Oprah show, she said I was a hero and didn't know it. And that kind of reverberated out. And there were so many widows that saw that show. And they said, can you help me be like you? So I had to step back for a second and go, I don't really feel like I'm a hero. I don't really feel like I'm that person that Oprah just said I was and now is like millions of people are seeing. But I said, but what would it look like if I was the hero of my own story? What if she's right? And that was what really set my trajectory at year six on a completely different realm. And that was when I said, what would happen if I did become the hero of my story? And as I did that, I started realizing, you know what makes me feel alive? Not just taking what I've learned and sharing it with someone else, because they may need that information. And so that's what really, you know, I started, and you know, it's all research backed. Now I'm, you know, Dr. Steve's work, there's the 10 key components of building resilience. The two that I needed the most were the two that didn't exist. And that was the imitating resilient role models. I needed to find other widows like myself and also have a space where I could both give and receive, right? We can't just receive, we have to give. And so when I started giving back, that just completely, it was the end of the cycle of healing for me. And then that continued on as I gave and, you know, actively listened. And that is where the real healing happens in trauma. There's your work and then there's your give back.
You eloquently described the next three phases. So what I was hearing is that you didn't have necessarily a situation where you could reach out and connect with other survivors. So you created your own situation to where you could, and then you went a step further and you created this system that other widows could chime in and, you know, now reach out. They didn't have to reinvent the wheel. And I think that in itself is what elevated you very quickly from the choosing life stage to reaching out and not necessarily having anybody to reach out to, but took you to that next level of super survivor. And then the other things started falling into place. You had to get moving. You know, you had set goals and, you know, you were taking action and taking no prisoners, as I know you pretty well. And then, you know, giving back, and you constantly give back. And for anybody that has ever met Carolyn, seen Carolyn, she is a firecracker in regards to the passion she brings and the energy for her organization and putting widows first and getting them all kind of access and things that they frankly deserve. So I was telling Carolyn, every time that I meet with her, I have to take notes because I'm just learning so much so quickly. So,
yes, you're learning what I call my PhD in uncommon knowledge.
So I have to take a lot of notes. And Carolyn, so I'm kind of on this journey myself about reading a lot more. And so she had, you know, encouraged me to, you know, read the book on resilience. And then there's another edition that's coming out, I think, in September. Is that correct?
Yeah, September 11th.
Yeah, I already have mine pre-ordered. And I now in turn recommend that to some other folks. And there's a part on the book. I don't have the book, or yes, I do, in front of me.
Yeah, I have an advanced copy of the third edition. You're going to love it.
I passed this on to some very dear friends. So I have the second edition in my hand. And so on the title page of the book, it says, every parent, coach, and organizational leader should read this now and pass it on to those they care about the most. And so I'll pass this on to folks. And so I always have a method as to why I pass this on, or very methodic. And some folks catch it very quickly. And one of my dear friends, she was in kind of a funk or doing something on her own. And I sent it thinking about this message about, she's one of the people that I care about the most. She lost her daughter over a year ago. And so she was like, I just read the quote on the front. She's like, I'm one of the people that you care the most about. I've known her since high school. And I was like, Yes, you finally got it. Hello. And so it was like, you're pretty slow. But I said, you're a super survivor. You just don't know it yet. And so I was kind of setting her up, you know, to be in a situation where she could be comforted. And, you know, she reaches out to me. She's in kind of that reach out stage. And so I recognize that, and I wanted to give her a little bit of boost. But the reason I'm, you know, sharing that is because Carolyn shared that with me. And so now I can share it with other people. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. I really, well, because Dr. Stephen Southwick shared it with me just in one of our conversations and getting to know me and understanding sort of the background. And, you know, he's used to working with veterans. Yeah. He's used to working with amputees and, you know, people who have had, but he had never thought about widowhood as a traumatic detachment experience. And he's, you know, a renowned psychologist. So I think curious people constantly are looking for new knowledge, but also new knowledge that we can easily pass on.
Right.
And recognizing someone as a super survivor and actually telling them that they are is like this beautiful millionth, you know, chain link, you know, kind of gift of saying, hey, did you know that you were this? Because I think a lot of people who give back, and I've met so many people who are doing such great things in nonprofits and you know, even not even in nonprofits, just acts of kindness. Sure. And, you know, you often will talk to them and they'll say, had some of the, you know, most calm people have had the most complex backgrounds. And, yes. And they worked hard to get there. And so when you ask someone, you know, what's your story? My goal is always to show up, like you said, like in this beautiful Barbie pink that I have on. People don't know at first glance that I experienced a severe trauma and tragedy in my life. But now I'm here and I'm the best role model that I possibly can be because I live out this research every day in my life. And that's why in the third edition, my chapter is in the Survivor Mission section. I'm the story that they tell, but I'm gonna share just you don't have the book, but in the parting words it says resilience is about understanding the difference between fate and freedom, learning to take responsibility for one's own life, and working within your scope of control. Wow. That's really, you know, this is why the exchange of knowledge and the accomplishments where you see, when you mention, you know, you're a super survivor, people just aren't told that. They're not given any awards or accolades over it. But it's wonderful in these very intimate conversations that people will, like you, will say, you're a super survivor. Oh, thank you.
It makes a difference. It does make a difference. Carolyn, I'm always in awe when I speak to you. I appreciate, you know, you spending some time, and I'm going to be spending some time with you tomorrow. I'm going to introduce you to a group of women in transition. So I'm excited about that. And you've invited me to a couple of events that you are either hosting or a major part of in the next couple of months. So I appreciate that.
Yes.
Is there anything else that you want to talk about or brag about?
Yes.
Please do.
Well, 2 years ago, we had, we have a golden committee at Modern Widows Club. And it's really, how do we come up with bright ideas of not only changing the narrative about widows, but also creating revenue streams? Because to find grants to support widows organizations is extremely hard. It's so unknown and so invisible. So what we did is we embarked on writing a book. And this book is now out on Amazon, and it's called Legendary Widows, Stories of Legacy. And it's 12 extraordinary women's stories. Some of them you'll know, like Coretta Scott King or Eleanor Roosevelt. You know, these are women that we know. We don't really think of them in the perspective of what they did in widowhood, right? There would be no King Center with Martin Luther King if not for Coretta Scott King.
Sure.
There would be no UN Women if not for Eleanor Roosevelt. And you know, we look at these women's stories, and so it's these 12 stories about women. But we share the bios. We actually, Modern Widows Club has a book club, so we utilize the talent that we had within there to write these 12 bios. But then I write a companion piece called More Thoughts. And I talk about why this particular woman was chosen for this book and how she's inspired my life to then, of course, then pass along and share with all the women in our organization. And so it really shows, I think, what women and anyone who reads this book will go, wow, I never really thought about this woman's story and the perspective of what she accomplished in widowhood. And it's really everyone who has written the book so far has gotten to the foreword and started crying because it was so affirming.
Right.
That they have great things to do. I always say a formidable woman is a terrible thing to waste. And we're doing that around the world with widows right now. Widows are not getting their due recognition in what they have to contribute towards civilization. And this book is really the beginning. It's the first of seven that we're going to create, but it's out now. And hopefully every year on International Widows Day, June 23rd, we'll have one of these in the series. And so the next one we're doing is Stories of Strength. And I was really grateful to Paul Chavez from the Cesar Chavez Foundation.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He wrote the introduction and he talks about his mother, Helen Fabela Chavez. And this book is actually now going to be in the Cesar Chavez National Monument bookstore.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, you never know, you know, what happens when you go back. And Paul Chavez said he was so grateful because his, you know, people always say that, you know, every great man, you know, there's a great woman behind him. And he was like, let me make it clear. My mom never stood behind my dad. She always stood next to him or sometimes ahead of him. And so we need to give these women the recognition for what they, how they've contributed to the good that exists in the world today. So I'm really excited about this book because it's been a 2-year passion project for me, and it's been taking a big team and big investing, and it's available. And 100% of the proceeds come back to Modern Widows Club.
Awesome. Can you repeat the title of the book again?
Yeah, it's called Legendary Widows, okay. Stories of Legacy.
Got it. I'm going to make sure I have that in the notes as I am also taking notes.
Thank you.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
Is there anything else that I missed, Carolyn, or anything else you're going to force me to take notes on?
No, I don't think that's it.
All right. You can find Carolyn at themodernwidowsclub.org. And again, I will put a link to her organization and also a link to be able to purchase the book with the notes section on this podcast. Carolyn, I'm grateful for all the tutelage you give me. You are a book of wisdom, and I appreciate learning from you every time that we meet. So, and I will see you tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm excited. So for anyone that's listening, thank you. Appreciate all the listeners. And please feel free to pass this podcast on to any of your friends, family members, or colleagues. And please remember, you can also support the show so I can continue doing great things for other people. And I'm supporting very, very good organizations.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you are a client and are looking to work directly with Chris and or our firm, head on over to Life After Grief FP. That is Life After Grief FP. The FP is for financial planning. If you are an advisor looking to emotionally and financially work with your client in grief, or if you are a client looking to get your advisor's head in the game, head on over to lifeaftergriefconsulting.com. That is lifeaftergriefconsulting.com. Any related information referenced in this week's podcast will be located here in the podcast section.